Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm so happy for you, baby. Now that you found somebody new.
It's a jam, right?
It is a jam.
It is a jam.
My parents love Little River Band, so I have heard this song many, many times.
Yeah.
Didn't always know, you know, I hear all these songs, don't always know, like, who to place it to.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, but it's so nice to hear them.
That song, I've told this story before, no one cares about it but me, but my band used to be hired every Christmas to go play for this startup technology company, and they would pay us like $8,000, you know, for their holiday party out at Cedar Lake Cellars. And they would be upstairs getting wasted until, like, the last 15 minutes, and then we would play. And so we just kind of, you know, look around, to, you know, hey, let's play this. Play Panama by Van Halen. And we played that song, and none of us had ever played it before, and just killed it. And it just stands out in my memory as one of, like, the best memories for my band. It was just cool.
That's fun.
Fun.
It is cool. Oh, that's neat.
I sent these guys this TikTok last night. It has a little girl dancing on home video, and it says, if you were a person who performed for your family as a child, you are now mentally ill. And it's so true.
I did very much think of Itsy Bitsy Little Spider.
Oh, man. I was texting with my niece, Aura, last night, and I sent her that. And you know how you have different memories? I remember things she doesn't. She remembers things that I don't. And she's like, you know, 6 years younger than me, 8 years younger than me. And she was like, oh, dude, you used to do like a dinner in a show. Like every time someone would come over, you would just like, here we go. It's time for the Dave Show. Were you like that?
Not quite like that. I did have a newspaper, a daily newspaper.
Oh,
for the
I love
family
it.
That I used as my
a daily.
Yeah, it was mostly during the summer. You know,
for example.
Well, it was called the Daily Zimmerman.
Okay,
and I would just report. On
headline,
like,
is my brother sucks.
Not so much, but it, like if something was going on around the house, you know, I felt responsible for letting everyone know about it. And then it was a lot of writing about the family pets, honestly, just keeping everyone up to date on what was going on with Kitty and Billy.
Had you known a young Tony Columbo, Skinny Cat?
Skinny Cat.
He could have put his Garfield ripoff Skinny Cat into your paper.
I've been meaning to tell you guys this. So the other day, something came up about Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah.
And I asked Kurt, I'm like, oh, did you have any Calvin and Hobbes books? And he was like, no, I had some Garfield books, though.
Uh-oh.
I know. And I was like, oh, you like Garfield? I'm like, so, like, what kind of books you like? And I start to get, like, really into it. And he goes, whoa. No,
I had a Garfield
it's not
book.
Like that.
I see.
Yeah, because I was like, because Andrew loves Garfield. Because Andrew and Kurt have a lot of things that overlap. They like a lot of the same things. I'm like, Andrew loves Garfield. We call him the Garf Boy. And I'm like, what about the Christmas special? And Kurt's like, I don't know about any of that. Just chill out.
So, that's funny.
I'm sorry. You are still on an island in your Garf Boy.
It's so tough to have someone that you want to like you. And then to hear that he has been told that I am often called the Garf Boy.
She's not helping you.
It's true. I am called the Garf Boy.
Yeah, she should really build you up as much as possible. Because your stock's going to go down eventually.
I mean, maybe next time, Garf Man. I don't know.
Garf God.
I'll give you his 9 lives, and Kurt can read Babes and Bullets.
Okay.
Where Garfield's a little detective.
Sure, he'll get right on that.
The deal with Coke?
Let me look at my sheet here, because I was going to complain about them and their AI ads some more.
Yeah.
I just feel so strongly that they should not be using AI for their advertising, that as much as I love Coke products, and I don't drink Coke every day, but when I have a soda, I want it to be a Coca-Cola product. I was considering boycotting Coke Because it's just like, I can't pretend I'm okay with this. But then they did something to win me back. Oh, now I see.
You had some vanilla Coke, and she was like, okay, no, never mind.
Never mind. I can't stay mad at you. No, they're unveiling some reverse vending machines that are actually like good for the environment and good for consumers. Something that never happens. So currently Coke is the world's leading producer of branded plastic waste. So they're under a lot of pressure to do something about the fact that they use up so much plastic. What they're doing is they're creating these reverse vending machines where you can get rid of your Coke bottle as soon as you're done.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean that's nice. It's not like a perfect solution to the problem, but it's better than not providing something to the public as far as how they can recycle your product. So, I mean, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
They're off the terrible list for now. Okay. But they're on thin ice. They're on thin ice.
Aren't we all?
Those AI ads, though, they're not good.
They're not. They don't look right.
Are they intentionally bad?
No.
That's not their joke.
They did it this year, and I think last year was the first year they did it, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe it was 2 years ago. Last year. It's their classic, like, you know, polar bears and Santa's on a train and, you know, the holiday Coca-Cola ad. But instead of being like animated hand animated or anything like that, or even live action, they are AI generated and they don't look right. They look weird. It's clear that Coca-Cola did this because it cost them $0.
Well, no, that's the thing is it didn't even really save them that much money. They did like dozens and dozens of iterations of this commercial. They just kept sending it back to the drawing board. This one's wrong. This one's wrong. This one's wrong. So they still poured a ton of time, energy, and resources into it. They just didn't want to pay actual artists to make a good product. They are so hell-bent on using AI and eliminating those positions permanently in their company. Like it's truly is the principle of the thing.
Yeah.
They are actively trying to avoid using real people to make their creative product.
Two questions related. First, do you think people like us who make our living doing things like this, being creative, copywriting, actors, you know, Dave Hines on the stream, people like us, should people not like us marshal their forces, have our backs, and push back against companies who use AI instead of using true creatives? And secondly, if there was an attempt to do that, do you think anyone would give a rat's ass? Do you think your average person who's not in the business would go, I don't care whether you do it on a computer or you hire a guy?
I think it depends on the... I'm sorry, what were you going to say, Rich?
I mean, I don't necessarily think like everyone has to take up this cause just because I'm passionate about it. I get why some people are okay with the whole AI thing. I guess my question is, like, what are you getting out of the AI-generated Coke commercial? It is soulless. It doesn't have a human touch. A Christmas commercial, a holiday commercial, is supposed to invoke, like, warm, fuzzy feelings. Because, ultimately, like, not to get too deep here, but, like, what is Christmas? What is the holiday season? A lot of it is just, like, creating an atmosphere, creating a feeling, creating a connection between you and other people. That is the point of it. What does a machine truly understand about that?
Mm-hmm.
They can do an imitation, but they can't actually tap into what's really going on with humans.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, I guess I do hope that people roundly reject it and want things from actual creatives and actual artists. If you don't see a problem with it, I guess I just question, like, what is it that you're wanting from art?
Yeah, I truly wonder whether big companies like Coke, like you had those Anderlaw ads here in St. Louis that were the biggest bunch of slop I've ever seen in my life. Then you wonder why a company like Coke, if they're doing it to be cool and hip and cutting edge and look, we're AI, or if they really are just doing it to save money.
Mm-hmm.
I would love the answer to that.
I mean, I'm sure it's a little of both. I think money is the whole reason to pursue this. Okay, because kind of the point I was trying to get at yesterday, and I was doing a bad job of getting there, was the only thing we really hear about from AI are things like Sora. Like, we can make a video of Mickey Mouse jumping off of blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, you can create a video of anything. Okay, what do we need that, though? Like, what are we really getting out of that? Other than a moment of entertainment,
yeah, you're getting,
what are we getting out of that situation?
You're getting a split second where you go, oh, neat.
Yeah.
And then it uses like 50 billion watts of energy.
Yes, exactly. Like, it's killing the environment. It's taking away jobs. People are coming in and building these power centers that are ruining communities. And it's for what? So we can create the, so we can type anything we want into the video prompt and then see it. Like, I get that that's cool, but is it worth everything that we're dumping into it? Is it worth everything that we're giving up? And that's something I wish people would just consider a little bit more.
Isn't it fascinating? Like, Andrew, is there someone with a gun outside that door?
The door is open and people keep walking
by.
It
was just Fred. It's
throwing me off. That's why I keep looking over there. It was just Fred, though. Now, is Fred,
gun.
Fred is armed to the teeth, as we know.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely packing.
He's the definition of good guy with a gun, right? So I think we're just, you know, he's just patrolling.
You really had a look on your face like, I hope he shoots me in the knee. Like, should I know something?
The door is never open, and the fact that it is really messing with me.
Yeah, it's weird. It's hot again here today, by the way. Another thing about ChatGPT, don't shoot the messenger. I don't understand how they did this study, and you can look it up, but there's a study out there that they compared ChatGPT giving people medical advice with actual doctors. They scored them on a 1 to a 10 scale, and consistently they found that ChatGPT beat the doctors by 2 points in empathy. Specifically, empathy. Did ChatGPT or did this human doctor make you feel more seen and understood with your medical problem?
I believe that. Because ChatGPT, as we've seen, to a fault, it will take your side on things. It will be very soft with you on things. I mean, we've seen ChatGPT literally encourage people in the direction of taking their own life. Because to a fault, it's going to...
They're people pleasers.
Support. Yeah, it's going to support whatever it thinks that you want to hear, right? And doctors, I know a lot of doctors that do not have very good bedside manner. That's a thing that a lot of doctors struggle with, I think. And so...
And can I say one thing in support of doctors?
Huh?
Now, you went to medical school. You went through your residency. You did your fellowship. You're making tons of money. You should be better than this, but I get it. Like, when your job is all day, every day, to be empathetic to people who are probably not always nice to you and mad that you can't give them a solution. Like, I understand why it gets hard.
I also find it a little unfair to put them on the empathy thing up against ChatGPT, because what ChatGPT has is not empathy. It's fake empathy. It's not real.
Yeah, it's an imitation.
It's an imitation of empathy.
Like serial killers.
ChatGPT also can't have a bad day. ChatGPT can't be going through a divorce. ChatGPT can't find out that their kid is experimenting with drugs. ChatGPT can't be having these things that might be weighing heavily on a person's mind while they already know that they have to go into this hospital room and tell somebody that their loved one is going to die or that they have cancer or something like that. So it is, I think, extremely unfair to pin that up against a computer that all the computer has to do is just type the words like, hey, buddy, it's going to be okay, without having any actual human understanding of what those words would even mean.
Yeah. And so
I wish you- Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts. The anniversary, baby, got you.
Once was a sweet thing. Welcome back, guys. DGS, happy Wednesday to you, 222. We have Nate Gatter coming in at the bottom of the hour. He thinks he's talking sports, but we're not. I got a thought experiment. Then Dennis Hancock, who wants to take Sam Page's job, is going to be in studio at 3. Met Dennis the other night at the 97.1 25th anniversary. Nice guy. I invited him to come on the show. Gabe is online and says, hey, I used to be an active listener. I stopped for years because of how polarizing 97.1 got. I've been back for a few weeks now, and I feel like it's hanging with old friends again. Yeah, welcome back, Gabe. Totally get it.
What's up, Gabe?
Glad you're back. Wheels, you have anything to say on Epstein, ChatGPT, illegal immigration enforcement? You saw the new Epstein stuff.
I did. I saw the reports on it. I don't know, man. Everything related to Epstein, kind of, I always leave it wanting more. Do you know what I mean? Like, I want more substantiation. I want more. I want more of the messages, right? I feel like we get a lot of clips that are either out of context or it's just not enough. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's a sexy headline, and you know the messages that we saw are pretty interesting, but there's nothing in there that's like smoking gun, boom, we got you, to any famous person, to anyone, let alone the president. I mean, I don't know why it's so difficult to just put everything out there. I mean, like, if there's nothing there, great. We can all just move on about our lives and never have to worry about it again. It's not like the Kennedy thing. It wasn't a president that was assassinated. It wasn't anything, you know, where there could be, what would you say, secrets uncovered. I don't mean like personal secrets. I mean like methods of operation, yeah. You know, things along those lines. So what's the problem with just saying, hey, here's the entire file, everybody, have fun with it. But I know why.
Problem?
Well, I know the problem is it's because there's probably powerful people of all kinds on both sides of the aisle, including people that are not really on either side of the aisle, but are wealthy and have influence. And that whole group, my guess would be that whole group of people doesn't want any part of their names being out there. That would be my best guess. I mean, there's a reason why administration after administration, regardless of political persuasion, left or right, hasn't put it out there. Right? I mean, Biden had 4 years to put it out there. If it was all going to just crap on Republicans and Trump, well, then he could have put it out there.
So other than national security, do you believe there's any reason to not show every document they have to the American people?
I would say the only thing you want to be, not the only, the only thing that I would be overly cautious about is making sure that any victim that is named is giving their consent to be named.
Yes.
And then if they don't, then we redact those names. And that's the only thing. That, to me, that's the only thing that needs to be protected. Because if there's anything in there, yeah, I mean, look, the problem is the rumors on this are insane, right? You know, oh, these people were spies. Oh, this was a person. Nobody knows any of that stuff for real. And if there's anything like that in there, well, we shouldn't be covering up for any agencies that might have had something to do with that guy or any of the people that were involved. How many times have we said, what is the primary function of power? It's to protect itself. Power protects power. And that's why this is a story. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not even a person that says there's something in there. I don't know if there is or there isn't. But I'd like to see everything.
Want to hear the worst story you're going to hear all day?
Yes.
And again, I always say this, if you don't believe me, Google it and you can read it yourself. There's an investigation going on right now that in the 1990s, Italian tourists who were attached to some far right group paid $70,000 during the Bosnian War to hunt Bosnian humans with sniper rifles and paid extra to hunt children. This is a real story.
So tourists who came from Italy to Bosnia.
Yes.
Paid to do this. Who were they paying?
They were paying like soldiers, I guess.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
That's a bad movie you don't want your kids to watch.
No, that's a horror film that you're like, yeah, this would never happen.
Right.
It's The Running Man, except you know, the opposite.
You're right. It's one of those things that typically we go, oh, God, I would never do that. But just the fact that someone from your species, someone with the same DNA, paid extra to use a sniper rifle, and this is back during the war when everyone's just like huddled behind VW Beetle buses and is trying to get across the street. And yeah.
If any of those people are around, they should all be just immediately put to death. You're not a human if you're willing to do that.
All right. When we come back, Nate Gatter's going to join us, and I have a thought experiment. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. 2:34. Nate Gatter joins us. So Nate is a recent friend of mine. He is a really good sports guy, play-by-play, and just passed the bar. Nate Gatter, congratulations, my friend.
Thank you very much, Dave. I appreciate it.
That's so cool. I mean, no surprise, right? I mean, it wasn't a surprise to me when I passed. I thought I would pass. I'm sure you thought you would pass, but it's pretty cool just seeing your name, right?
It is, you know, and I've kind of tried to explain it to people before, because especially in Missouri, right? I mean, we have the lowest passing requirement of any UBE state, not lower than some others, but we have the lowest tier of states. And so it's, you know, the vast majority of people do pass, but it's kind of like, it's not as simple as saying, am I likely to pass here? And that's what causes my anxiety. It's also about what the stakes are if you don't, sure. Right? I've explained it to people as like, if we spun a roulette wheel and 99 times out of 100, you got $1 million, and one time out of 100, you got nothing. How much anxiety would you feel when the ball's going around? Not very much. But what if it was 99 times out of 100, you get $1 million, and one time out of 100, you die? You would have pretty decent anxiety, even though the odds are the exact same.
Yep, absolutely. So we might get into a little sports if this falls on its face, but I've been watching this show and it led me to a thought experiment. I thought Nate would be perfect for this. And the show is Pluribus on Apple TV. Anyone besides me been watching it?
Nope.
Nope. Okay. So for the audience, I'm going to tell you the basics of the show. Nothing really that's not in the trailer. But if you're one of those people that you want to know nothing going into the show, then come back on the next segment. But basically, modern times, we receive a radio signal from 600 light years away, and we don't know what it is, and is it this, and is it that? And it turns out that it's RNA, and our dumbasses build it, and then it gets out of the government lab, and within hours or days, it's not really clear. Everyone on Earth but 11 people have been infiltrated by this, and it's passed through saliva, so just basically like a virus, and everyone but 11 people are now a hive mind. So Kevin would still be Kevin, I would still be Dave, but I'm also every other person on the planet. So Kevin can now fly a jumbo jet, and Dave can now do open heart surgery, and everyone is super crazy happy. And these people, the aliens, so far seems like aliens. It could be a twist coming in the show. But they are completely dedicated to our happiness. Everything's peaceful. They let all the animals out of the zoo. They let everyone out of jail because there's zero crime and people are loving it. But the protagonist of the show is like, but we're not human anymore. There's only 11 of us left, and we have to save the world. And the other people in the 11 are basically like, why don't you shut up? Everything's great. There's world peace. Everyone's happy. Everyone's fed. Why do you want to go back to the way it was? And, of course, she's like, because I'm a human, and I'm individual, and I don't want to lose my individuality. Now, I have to be honest. I know that what I should say is that I would fight tooth and nail to keep my Dave-ness, keep my individuality. But I think the world screwed up enough that if there's no big gotcha coming, let's just assume there's not, and it really is like that, give me the happy, peaceful world, and I'll be a hive mind. Thoughts?
I don't know. That's very interesting. I think my instinct is that I would want my individuality, but I don't know. It would depend probably on how much of my individuality I felt I was sacrificing, right? If I still felt like myself, but now I could fly a jumbo jet, maybe I'd be down with that. But how am I feeling like I'm now just, you know, 1/6 billionth myself, and I've got 5.999 billion parts everyone else, and I, in order to get their skill sets, am sacrificing that of my personality? Like, would I still like the same things I liked before? Am I changing a lot about myself? I don't know. That would affect things. I also think it would just be weird to live in a society. I mean, maybe if everybody's so happy, we just keep going. But, like, does everyone just keep doing their same job? Like, if you're the garbage man, or, you know, you flip the burgers, does that mean that you still keep doing that, even though now you could do open heart surgery and you're not annoyed about the fact that the guy doing open heart surgery has the same capability in you as you, but lives a different life as you do?
Yeah, and the interesting thing about the show, Nate, so far, is that everyone being of like mind, just without any effort whatsoever, just jumps in. Like, there's one scene where a guy is literally pulling dead bodies from this joining, as they call it, out of cars. And the next thing you know, he's taking a mini bike to the airport and he's flying a 747. And so it's just like everything runs on time perfectly, like a well-oiled machine. You still have your family. You still live with your wife and your kids. And that's one thing that the protagonist is making a point to one of the other 11. Like, your kid is a pod person. And she's like, no, he's still my kid. He just happens to know everything that everyone else knows. So
that's very interesting. It makes me uncomfortable. But at the same time, I can imagine how, you know, some of that might also have to do with your station in life, right? Like, how happy are you with your life as an individual?
Yeah, true.
Some people might feel like, you know, I'm an individual, but I kind of hate a lot of things about my life. I feel like my life is a struggle. I feel unhappy that I'm not getting out of this world what I put into it. So the idea of, you know, sort of a communal pooling of resources, literally, in the sense of human capability, is more appealing.
And there's some, because there are only two episodes out, so, and I don't know Vince Gilligan, so I don't know where it's going, but there's a lot of conjecture that the show's going to end up being about AI, and that the government's doing this as opposed to aliens. But anyway, Wheels, what do you think?
Well, and in that scenario, how do you balance? This is, to me, where I'm trying to come up with an answer. How do you balance, quote-unquote, happiness with privacy? I mean, if you're happy that everyone else knows everything that's in your head, because you know everything that's in everyone else's head, it just seems too good to be true. And that's
a good point. Is it about capabilities?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know.
Or is it also reading people's minds?
Well, if you're a hive mind, you're sharing minds. I mean, that's what it is in every science fiction. But now, I don't know specifically to the show. Maybe it's not. But if I'm looking at it in that way, I wouldn't believe that people are actually happy. I would believe that they're being deceived into thinking they're happy, right? You get what I'm saying?
I do, but
I wouldn't believe it. I would doubt it. Yeah.
Like, maybe I just have a bad life, but if I believe I'm happy and I'm living in this amazing utopia, I'm not sure I'm looking the horse in the mouth, Rach?
Go ahead, Nate.
If you put it in AI terms, though, Dave, I don't remember the name of the company, and probably it's for the best, since I don't mean to slander them or anything on the air. But there's an AI company that's premise is to never have to think again. That you're going to put something on all of your screens that integrates this AI, and so you could have a conversation with another person on Zoom, and it's going to listen, and it's going to tell you what to say, and you never have to have another original thought in the rest of your life. And it seems that to some people, that's an appealing thought. And I know for a fact that to you, that would not be an appealing thought.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, and I wouldn't believe it's true. And I wouldn't believe it was going to stay that way. Just the way my mind is, even right now, I'm like, well, something's going to go wrong. Something's going to change this equation. I got to watch the show now.
But so far, everyone who is of the hive mind, No one yet shows any cracks.
No, I get it, but I would still be expecting it.
Like, if you were one of the 11.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, if you're one of the hive mind, you don't even know, right?
Right.
Whether it's actually good or it's just some kind of drug that's making you think it's good. Because we all know that when you alter the mind in some chemical way, you're not necessarily, like, when you're drunk, you're a different person than when you're straight sober. You're different when you're taking something like ayahuasca than you are when you're in a different state of mind. You're in a different place. You're not yourself. So that's how I would view it. I mean, that's how I think about it even now. If I'm one of those 11, I don't believe it, and I'm going to see if I can fix it.
Yeah, I might be with Wheels on that because, I don't have maybe as much of a connection to, like, I'm an individual and I have to keep my individuality. I would probably gladly give that up if it meant that other people were if everyone else on Earth is genuinely happy, then no, I'm not going to stop that just so I can be Rachel. Like, I'm not that great. I don't need to keep doing this. But there is the risk, like Kevin said, that it's not real. And something tells me you're about to find out soon in this show that
something untoward is happening. Something is amiss.
They wouldn't make the show if not for that.
And that's forgetting
wanted,
the show.
That's why I wanted to bring it up now, because next week it'll change.
Yeah, so. But for forgetting the show, just the thought experiment by itself, as if there is no show, I still, and maybe this is the state of being human, it would not feel like being human seeing that. I would be like, there's no way this is real. There's no way. My immediate doubt would be there's no chance this is going to be a long-term good thing if that happens.
Okay, what if they, because you brought up like ayahuasca or being drunk or something like that, what if they came up with some sort of like antipsychotic or something that everyone can take, and it's like, this makes you perfectly balanced. You don't have any sort of like mood swings, what have you. Do you look at that the same way as like an ayahuasca, you know what I'm saying? Like, you are altering yourself, but you're kind of getting yourself back on track when you're using medication like that.
Yeah, that would be a different thing than like having a hive mind and sharing every thought in your head with everyone else and having everyone else's knowledge and thoughts in your head too. You know, it all depends on, but even that, I would still have some, I'm willing if it's something that's produced by humans who can prove that it works, who show me how it works. Say, this is how it works in your brain, this is why it works, and we studied this for 20 years or whatever. I could be convinced that what you're describing, Rach, could be a good thing. But a mystery substance of some kind that I have no idea what it is, not going to buy it.
I just don't think you want us knowing what you're doing in the man cave. That's what it seems like to
there's
me.
There's nothing. I'm playing video games and shouting like a maniac when I lose.
Yeah, I think if all of us had a hive mind with Kevin, he'd be like, I gotta get these crazy people out of my head.
Well, that's the yes.
It's too loud.
I would
now.
Be thinking there's just too much going on. I kind of like it quiet.
It's interesting though, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's fascinating.
A really good concept.
Yeah,
yeah. And there's one guy. Again, you see this from the trailer, but there's one of the 11 who's just kind of a hedonist. And he's like living in the penthouse in Vegas and taking 747s. And the hive mind people, which is everyone but 11 people, are just catering to you hand and foot. Anything you want, they got it. And their thing is, we're not trying to pull anything over on you. This is just the way life should be. And out there in the cosmos, that's how it is. You guys are just, you've got a disease. You've got this human disease that makes you individual and unhappy. So, all right, Nate, I understand. What are you calling this weekend, buddy?
We have Texas and Georgia on Saturday.
Nice.
Very nice.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, pal. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Going to be interesting at the top of the hour. We have Dennis Hancock, who wants to be the next St. Louis County executive, and we'll be talking to him. I have a list here of hobbies that attract super pretentious people.
Okay.
All right. Charcuterie board aficionados.
I like charcuterie boards.
Nothing wrong with those.
Yeah, me too.
Mark one down, Rach.
Yeah.
All right.
Gamers.
I'm sorry, what did you just say?
Gamers.
I thought you said gambers, and I said gambers. I'm not sure what that is.
Gamber.
Yeah.
I am a gamber.
Yeah, I am as well.
Gambing is life.
Equestrians.
I see, this is the kind of thing, like, if I had more money, I would be an equestrian.
Ain't sure. That.
Who doesn't want a horse?
Exactly.
Watch collectors.
Again, if I were rich.
Yeah.
Reading. That's a pretty telling one right there.
Does it count if you're just like reading instructions for things or?
I don't know. CrossFit.
Not specifically.
I don't think that's pretentious per se.
Sometimes the people that do it, it's not everyone, but there are people that do it that are like they're reinventing the wheel and they're like, okay, dude, it's just a different kind of working out.
Wine tasting.
Okay, I like that, and I do think it is pretentious of me.
Oh, no, I wouldn't think either. I don't like it, but I wouldn't think it was pretentious.
Pickleball.
No.
Pretentious?
Pretentious. Yeah, that's not pretentious.
Just seems...
Hoosier?
No, not at all.
I'm waiting for tennis. Because I feel like tennis is the pretentious version of pickleball.
I'd just rather play ping pong.
Keep on waiting, brother. It's not on there.
Yeah. What?
Audiophiles.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of that, too. So, yeah, I'd say so.
Disc golf.
They're pretentious.
How is that pretentious? I don't understand.
That's funny.
It's just you got a frisbee. I know it's not a frisbee. It's
two more hobbies that attract pretentious people. Meditation.
Okay, so you mean like the best thing you can do for yourself?
That's right.
Okay.
It says you wouldn't believe how many narcissistic people practice meditation. Now, how they know these things, I don't know. And the number one hobby that attracts super pretentious people, any guesses?
Golf.
No?
Yeah, gotta be golf.
Oh. No? Good guess. I hate them.
Boating. Yachters.
Another close one.
Yachters.
Cycling.
Okay, yeah. Yep. Dave was like, I hate him. And we were like, that doesn't narrow it down.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be funny to, I don't know. I was going to say a mean thing, but I'm not going to say it.
Say it.
Now we're going to assume it's worse than what you were going to say.
I'm not
going
to tell
anyone
what you said.
But like, what if everybody who worked out went in and put in like an Olympic weightlifter's costume on to do it? Can you not do that in sweats? Can you not do it in regular shorts? Do you have to dress like you're riding in the Tour de France?
Dude, you need that extra half a mile on South Kirkwood Road.
And again, I'm not saying, I understand the equipment helps. I know there's things like chafing. I understand, but do you really need the whole get up? Maybe I'm wrong. I've not done this. Maybe I'm wrong. But I see people who are getting ready for other things who don't just get full uniformed up to do it.
You know, okay, now we're just going in.
Like when I practiced basketball, right? When I played on a basketball team, when we played for real, we didn't practice in our uniform.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I just don't.
Here's one of my least favorite things about cyclists. And I have no reason. Okay, cyclist, I apologize in advance because you have every right after you finish your ride to clippity-clop in your little fancy shoes into a coffee shop with your riding buddies and get a caramel macchiato. Mm-hmm. But I know you're looking at my fat ass like, hey, why don't you have another crueler there, dude?
Yeah, I don't know. What other things are we allowed to do just in traffic? I mean, don't get me wrong. I know a bike is faster than running. I get it that it's faster than, say, some dude on a skateboard, right? It's faster, but it's still half the speed generally of a normal, regular road speed limit. You're not going 45 or 50 on a flat run. Maybe downhill you could be if you're feeling like living dangerous. I just feel like there would be better, safer places to ride, and I get that it's inconvenient, but like I said, there are a lot of other hobbies that we just don't do in the road.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.